This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To London, to Joseph Sternberg at the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, to look at the Bank of England and this assertion by its chief economist, Hugh Pill. Bank of England will raise interest rates again. The Bank of England will raise interest rates again over fears that inflation risks become, quote, embedded in the economy through higher wages and prices. This, according to the chief economist and a spokesperson. Mr. Pill said the need for tighter money policy was related to the risk of, quote, a self-sustained inflationary cycle where companies continue to raise their prices and workers demand higher wages even after energy prices begin to fall next year. Joe, I go to the continent where I believe in year-over-year inflation has now peaked over 10%. I believe it's been there in London for some time. And the Bank of England is tightening and tightening, as we see here at the Federal Reserve. Is there any evidence of it being successful? Has it slowed the rise, or are they still behind?
I think they're still very far behind. And the reason is that the tightening has not been particularly aggressive. So, I mean, it's true that the Bank of England did start nudging up interest rates before the Federal Reserve in the U.S. and certainly before the European Central Bank in the Eurozone on the continent. But after the Bank of England started those rate increases, it has done so by much smaller, more tentative increments. And so they're now kind of in this situation where interest rates in the UK are far lower than they need to be to deal with the kind of inflation that Britain is experiencing right now. They have fallen pretty far behind the Federal Reserve, which then creates an inflationary problem because that tends to drive up the value of the dollar and drive down the value of the pound. So people have to pay more pounds for all of the things that the UK imports. So that creates a real inflationary problem. And you know, they're discovering that they're going to have to raise faster than they thought that they would. And he gave, you know, Andrew Bailey, who is the governor of the Bank of England, last week when they announced their policy decision, they also released their latest monetary policy report where he tried to suggest to markets that, you know, maybe the interest rates would cap out at a lower level than investors had been expecting. Now I'm wondering if they're starting to think if, or ask themselves if that was really the right message, because, you know, if inflation does get, you know, remain at an elevated level, they will have to raise rates higher than they've been signaling. And then that only compounds the credibility problem that they already have for having moved so slowly.
Your mortgage departments have crashed. The housing industry is said to be in turmoil. This happened during the very brief time of Liz Truss and the premiership. I believe there's been a little stability. However, I'm not certain because the property market is profoundly different in the UK than it is here. Is it understood to have stabilized, Joe?
I don't think it's anywhere close to stabilizing. And I think that people are also on the verge of discovering that this had absolutely nothing to do with the big market gyrations that we had in September after that Liz Truss mini budget or tax proposal. Because the reality is that every time the Bank of England raises its policy interest rates, millions of people see their monthly mortgage payment go up because many more Britons are on adjustable rate mortgages, or because Britons don't have a 30-year fixed rate mortgage like Americans do, where the rate is the same for the entire 20 or 30 year duration of the mortgage. You know, people here might, if they do have a fixed rate, it will only be for 2 or 5 years and then they have to renegotiate. So all of the people whose 2 or 5 year deals have expired over the past year have found themselves renegotiating onto higher interest rates than they were paying before. And so that means higher monthly payments. And the key fact here is that that was going to happen regardless of the market turmoil in September for as long as the Bank of England feels it needs to keep raising its policy rate to deal with the inflation problem.
Therefore, they've solved nothing. But let's talk technical terms. We have lots of noise here about something called the terminal rate. We also have lots of noise about this idea that the target is 2% inflation. In America, 2% inflation is said to be magical thinking at this point, and the terminal rate is somewhere around 4.5, although It could have changed the last 20 days and I would have missed it. Do you have comparable terminal rate targets in Britain for the Bank of England?
Yes. I mean, when people talk about the terminal rate, what they mean is what is the highest rate that the central bank will have to set the policy interest rate at the end of this cycle in order to bring the inflation back down to 2%. And there is a huge amount of discussion about what that rate might be in these economies, and it's creating a lot of very mixed signals. So in the U.S., what Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said last week is that the terminal rate, the maximum level of the overnight Fed funds rate that the Federal Reserve sets, will probably end up being higher than markets had previously expected. But the Fed might take longer to get there because it will do more gradual interest rate rises at each meeting. Now, the signal has been somewhat different in the UK, where the Bank of England last week suggested that the terminal rate might be lower than markets were currently expecting, that the Bank of England would be able to fight inflation without pushing up its overnight policy rate as high as markets had expected. Now, maybe they're dialing that back a little bit. Maybe they're concluding it was a bit of a mistake. But there's a lot of focus on this issue right now, mainly because higher interest rates are very painful for financial markets. People want to know how much longer the torture is going to have to go on. And so I think that certainly the signal from the Fed is it's going to get worse than you thought it would. Here in the UK, the signal is we actually can't tell you how bad it's going to get.
Let's go to the Fed, because there's a wonderful statement from the Fed after its most recent meeting in which it raised the rates, another jumbo hike at 0.75. And Joe's terrific at interpreting these things. The quote is, the committee anticipates that ongoing increases, this is the Federal Reserve in the U.S., ongoing increases in the target range will be appropriate in order to attain a stance of monetary policy that is sufficiently restrictive to return inflation at 2% over time. In determining the pace of future increases in the target range, the committee will take into account the cumulative tightening of monetary policy, the lags with which monetary policy affects economic activity, inflation, and economic and financial developments. End quote. Joe, I'm totally confused. They're going to raise rates till kingdom come. Is that what this means?
Well, that was only half of what they did last week, because that was the formal statement that they issued earlier in the afternoon, and that was in the Fed giveth mode, where, you know, investors cheered because they looked at that new language about the cumulative effect and taking account of lags, and they thought this is a sign that the Fed is going to start easing up on the brake a little bit. You know, they might not raise rates as high.
So the key word was lags. That's the one they seized on.
Yes, the key word was lags, and also this notion about monitoring the cumulative effect of the rate increases that they've done so far. And then 30 minutes later, Chairman Powell did the taketh away part, where he said, well, no, actually, you know, we might do somewhat slower rate increases moving forward, but we're going to end up at a higher level. And if you looked at what the markets were doing while all of this was going on, investors clearly were cheering during the time that they only had the statement in front of them. And then they started booing as soon as they heard the press conference, discovered that actually the Fed was going to keep raising rates higher after all. And it was at that point that the stock indexes started turning down for the day. But I mean, this is a huge communication problem, where now the markets hinge so much on these statements that any confusion about what the Fed actually means can create these big swings in asset prices. It's a very unhealthy situation for the economy.
Well, there's been a number of those sharp turns in the markets in the last weeks. It's because there's nothing we can do about it, right, Joe? I mean, they say they're a 2% target. To get to 2% target, we need at least 6% unemployment. And the most recent employment report was positive. Nobody regarded it as negative. All they could say is, well, maybe the increases have slowed. So at this point, I'm trying to simplify, Joe. The Federal Reserve is going to follow the metrics, right? That's what they've said for some time. And the metrics point to higher employment numbers, And at this point, that means the Fed's going to keep hiking. Is that the way to read this?
Yes. Now, I mean, look, there's this interesting argument about whether they're really targeting the right thing with employment, because you can have very high levels of employment and very moderate inflation. It's not clear to me that driving up unemployment at this point is actually going to be the thing that would break inflation. But, you know, I think that another way of thinking about what they're doing is that the economy needs to pivot out of a lot of bad, unproductive malinvestment that was only really possible when interest rates were very low. And we need to pivot into much more productive supply boosting investment that will boost productivity and that will help us get inflation under control by increasing genuine supply in the economy. And the financial markets have a role to play in that. You know, one of the big stories is that you seem to be starting to see a rotation out of some of these really trendy tech stocks where the profitability was always, you know, sometimes it was iffier than other times, and more of a rotation into productive companies that are so productive and profitable they can actually pay dividends. That's a very healthy thing for Wall Street to be going through as they start reallocating capital in line with the higher interest rates. It's also very painful for Wall Street. So I think that the key question at this point is, does the Fed keep its nerve and force Wall Street to undergo this, you know, transformation or this pivot? And will Wall Street continue understanding that that's what they need to do because the Fed is not going to back down? Or are you going to end up creating the scenario where investors start kind of trying to second guess the Fed and dragging their feet on some of these pivots because they assume that Powell isn't really serious and you're going to get relief coming from lower interest rates at some point in the future?
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London, watching the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve. However, we're going to turn to life in London, practical life in London, and an organization that Joe has introduced us to these last weeks that is becoming more prominent in the newspapers. It's entitled Just Stop Oil, Just Stop Oil. And it involves the commute into London and out of London, and it's a mess. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.